Patty. That's ridiculous. No way. There's nobody else out there. He's your guy. Give a big round of applause for the one and only Bodkin Show. I'm going to repeat that again, folks. I didn't stutter. Welcome to the Bodkin Show. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Bodkin Show. I am your host, Bodkins, baby. We are live. It is great. It is Sunday. So you know that that means we like to do a little sit-down interviews with folks. And you know what better time than sit down with this man? We have crossed paths before. I think we've DM'd before, but never quite could ever get it to get together. And what a perfect day on a day that where my girl Caitlin Clark breaks the all-time, not just women's, but men's all-time NCAA record. She's the greatest scorer in college basketball history. She broke that today. And I know what haters are going to say. Pistol Pete did it without three-pointers. He's better. Hey, two different eras, two different people. Let's just appreciate greatness that's in front of us. So we're witnessing. Girl put all her hard work in and everything in, and has done, it's broke the records. And it's going to continue to add to it. They got about another week, and then plus the conference championships. And then, see how far they go in the tournament. So she'll have at least now, hopefully another 3, 4, or 5 games to really solidify that record. But nonetheless, to help me talk about it all and talk about college football, if you want to know about college football, if you want to know about who's making it at the NCAA tournament, that's just in a few weeks. If you want to know who's going to get drafted where, if you want to know who's got the best recruiting class in men's basketball, college football, this is the man who you need to pick his smart big brains from. He is host of the College Sports Cast. Give it up for the very first time, my guy, Brad Harvey.
What
Brad,
is up?
What's up, my man?
What an intro, man. What an intro.
Hey, everybody says I give the best intros. If you're going to get one thing from me, it's going to be a good-ass intro. That's after that, I'll be all downhill. Yeah. We start high.
I see that, man. And yes, Caitlin Clark, I have been on this girl for a few years now. Absolutely love it. I was all in today to watch Caitlin. I watched the women's college game day today. A lot of people are like, women have college game day? Yes.
Yes.
The women have college game day. Yes. And I watched it. It was all about Caitlin Clark at Iowa today. Before the game, they had some really good stuff on there. They brought out Maya Moore, which was her. She met when she was like 10, Caitlin Clark did, and that she looked up to. And it was just a cool moment to see her all excited before the game when they brought out Maya Moore and talking just all things Caitlin Clark because – and I agree with you. I wanted to bring this up with you because I know that that's your girl too. So many people. Like, what's the deal with people, man?
Haters, man. Haters.
Asterisks this and asterisks that and – I mean,
it's two different brands of basketball, really. I get the Pistol Pete didn't have 3 points. You know what I mean? And Pistol Pete was great in his own right. But let's just appreciate her being what she is today. And that's a great staying all 4 years. Great basketball player. Great for the game of women's basketball. Not just women's, but in men's, all of basketball. Just what she has done. What other woman has ever sold out Hawkeye Carver Arena where you got to buy $200 a ticket just to come see her play? I can't name one, Brad.
There's not one. I mean, honestly, there's not one. And if you're not excited about this, I've been excited about it all week long. I knew it was coming. I knew she was 18 points shy, and she always scores 18 points. I don't. She scores 18 points in her sleep.
Exactly. She's so good. And what do you make of the people – do you think she needs – I think she's the greatest women's basketball player of all time. And I preface that I am biased. I'm an Iowa Hawkeye fan. I grew up a Hawkeye fan. So, but do you think she's the greatest, women's player of all time?
I mean, it's hard to argue that she's not, honestly. I mean, it, you know, in my opinion, I know that Jay Williams, you know, the past week or two has been making this huge deal that you can't be the greatest of all time if you don't have a championship. Well, I mean, come on, Jay. I mean, really and truthfully.
So Larry Bird's not considered one of the greatest of all time?
Yeah, in college. Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, so, I mean, the deal is, I mean, there's been countless players. Hello, Pistol Pete never even sniffed a championship at LSU. I mean, didn't even get close, to be quite honest with you. Most of the teams were abysmal.
Yeah.
To be honest, go back and look it up. I mean, he scored like crazy, but most of his teams were bad teams.
Yeah. This is my argument. I say, write me down the top 25 women in college basketball, that you feel the top 25. I guarantee you 15 of them come from Tennessee and UConn. Great programs, right?
Yeah,
I don't know. Shouldn't it be something should be said that she has taken Iowa, a program that I'm not saying
100%, and I'll be honest with you, Nick, I am not an Iowa Hawkeye fan. I have never been an Iowa Hawkeye fan. And until Caitlin Clark come around, I didn't even know that Iowa Hawkeye played women's basketball. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Exactly. Exactly, Brad. That's my point. And she took them to the national title game. Like, I get they didn't win that game. But
listen, what she did last year and taking them to the national title game and falling short, she did fall short. But man, what a run she had. And just not just last year either. I mean, honestly, her whole career, it's really iconic that
it is.
She started in empty gymnasiums.
Yeah.
Cardboard cutouts because of COVID.
Yeah.
And the last 2 years, she is filling stadiums everywhere she goes.
Yeah. I didn't even think about the empty stadium. I was thinking empty stadium because nobody was coming to watch them play.
Literally, her first few games were in complete empty stadiums with cardboard cutouts.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, absolutely. If you ask me if she's the greatest, for me, what makes her the greatest beyond her play is the mania that she has created.
Yes, that's right. Hey,
is the mania. It's like Hulkamania.
Exactly.
I told everybody, you know, it's like Hulkamania is coming for you.
What you going to do when Caitlin Clark is hitting threes on you, Brad?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's like Hulkamania. It really is, man.
It's
really cool to see.
That's why I think she's done brand-wise, for whatever reason, you know, for everybody to want to tune in and watch her play. You know, it's very much like Steph Curry, not Steph Curry, when he was on his little run there when the Warriors are hot, you wanted to watch him play because of all the things he could do, and she does it all she's so damn good.
So I was watching a men's college basketball game the other night, okay? This is a men's game, a regular college basketball game, men's game, all right? And in the first half, there was this dude that pulled up from the logo.
Yeah.
And shot one. He didn't even hit it, okay? He didn't even hit the damn shot, okay? He pulled up from the logo and shot it. And in the men's game, the announcer says, this guy thinks he's Caitlin Clark.
He wasn't. Caitlin at least nails the rim, at least. You know what I mean?
But I'm saying, she's so popular. Everybody knows. You know what I mean? Like, everybody knows.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been calling her Logo Clark for at least 2 years now. And that's me. And 4 years ago when she started with the cardboard cutouts in the stands, I didn't know who she was. I had no idea.
A lot of people did. As an Iowa fan, I kind of knew, like, had heard, like, her freshman year. My dad was kind of telling me, hey, watch out for this girl, Caitlin Clark. Like, she's going to be really good. And then their sophomore year, I caught on a lot. And I watched them because they were really good at that point in time. And then last year,
I started seeing who she was yeah. her sophomore year.
Yeah.
And then, of course, last year, I was all on board with her.
Yeah.
I've been all on board with her this year as well. I've been saying all along since, well, I wanted Iowa to win it last year. I was pulling for Iowa to win it last year. They made the run, got to the finals. I was pulling for her, to be quite honest with you,
yeah,
over Angel Reese and LSU in the championship game. And ever since last year, I've been hoping that she could get her a ring, to be honest. I mean,
I think I would too, just so all the haters can shut up. What are you going to say if she wins the ring this year? You know what I mean?
And I mean, listen, I will say this. I have seen in person, I've been covering women's basketball this year, been doing Kentucky, okay? But I have seen in person South Carolina play.
They're good.
They're really, really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Bodkins, they're good. And I don't know if, you know.
I don't.
And she beat them last year.
Yeah. The thing of it is, I think that last year was her best year. I thought that was the team. This year.
The big girl that she had last year.
Zano's gone. Yeah, she's gone. They got this girl Sticky or Stacky or something like that, and she's really good, but they just don't, to me, have that extra piece. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like last year was the year, and they just felt – I
don't know what her name was, but there was a big girl in there that she just had this remarkable connection with last
year. Yeah, Cezano's her name, Cezano.
Yeah. Yeah, she was they were really good together.
Yeah. Yeah, she was really good, and it is she left, and I think Kate Martin left too. But so they just don't quite have the team that they had. I thought last year was the year. Now maybe this is the year. I don't know, but I'm invested.
We beat Ohio State today, number two team in the country. Of course, It was senior day. It was at home.
Yeah,
and they're recognizing her. She's getting ready to break Pistol Pete's all-time record. Game day's there. I mean, it was a big celebration.
It's hard to go. Imagine Ohio State. You're just trying to play spoiler, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, you know. But Ohio State was the number two ranked team in the country behind South Carolina. Of course, Iowa beat them today. Iowa's been there a couple of times as the number two or three team this year, too.
Yeah.
I think they've lost four games this year.
Still
a really, really good team. I will agree with you. I kind of think last year's team was probably just a smidget better.
I do. What's going on with LSU? And then before we move on from women's college basketball, it seems like they had the Angel Reese. She's been like on, off again, off. You know, what do you make of that situation?
So LSU, again, like right now, they seem to be hitting on all cylinders again. They seem to be playing really well. They won their eighth straight game today. But they went through a little spell in January where they lost two out of three or two out of four or something like that. One of them was to South Carolina, so that's not that's not a terrible loss. The South Carolina's loss is not. But then they come back and didn't bounce back, and they lost to Auburn. I believe it was Auburn they lost to, and Auburn's really not that they're not a top level team.
Yeah.
In women's basketball. I mean, they're a good team, but they're not a top level team and not a team that LSU should have lost to. And of course, early in the season, they had some run-ins with Angel Reese and the coach, and she didn't play for four, five, six games, and had some what looked like suspension. And they lost a game or two in that run too. So they've been hit or miss this year, but they really have some talent on that team. I mean, they have four or five players on that team that can play with anybody. I will say this, they're kind of like Kansas in the men's. They have a great starting five.
And not much after that.
But they don't have much bench.
That could come to cost some tournament time.
Yeah, and that's That's where I think LSU this year is probably a little different than they were last year. They have a great starting five, and if they don't get in foul trouble and they can keep those five on the floor, then they're gonna be able to compete with anybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you get one or two of them in that second, third foul in the first half, and they got to come out, and third, fourth foul early in the second, they got to come out, then it changes the game for them.
Yeah. You always been a college guy, Brad, or like, is that just always been your passion? And what
I have, I've always been a college guy. I mean, there was a time when I really loved the NFL. I've kind of waned down on them. And then when I was a young boy, I was around when Magic and Bird was playing.
Okay? Yeah.
And when I was a young boy, the 80s was the best for the NBA. I mean, it was just, when you had Dr. J and Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Kevin McHale and Larry Bird and Isaiah Thomas.
Jordan came in at that time.
And Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley and, you know what I mean? Moses Malone is in that era. I mean, in the 80s, it was just, it's not like it is. And
that's when you could play basketball and touch somebody.
Oh, it was mean. It was mean back then. I mean, clothesline mean.
Yeah.
You know, going to the basket, like, I can remember Kurt Rambis getting clotheslined.
Yeah, yeah. Now you're getting suspended for 3 weeks, maybe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, now you do something like that, and you're probably going to be, like, not just suspended, kicked off the team. You do something like that now.
Yeah. How'd your podcast get started? How did the college sports cast get started?
So just me and a couple of friends. Well, first of all, I have another couple of friends that are doing something that is Kentucky related. I live in Kentucky. I'm a Kentucky fan.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why college sports has always been majorly important to me. Kentucky basketball, that's what we live and breathe in the state of Kentucky, to be quite honest with you. But I have a couple of friends that had started a Kentucky podcast, and I seen that they were kind of gaining some ground and being a little successful with it. And I thought, you know what? I can do that. I've always wanted to do that, you know. So me and another couple of friends got together and decided we wanted to cover, like, all of college sports instead of just Kentucky. Because here in Kentucky, there's so many people that's doing just Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I love college sports. I love football. I love basketball. I love women's basketball as well. And I've got another one of my guys that's with me is a huge college baseball fan. Now, I will fully admit, I'm not that big on college baseball. But doing this for – this is now my second – this is 2 years now that we are doing this. I've learned quite a bit about college baseball, and it is better than I ever gave it credit for. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, it is better than I ever gave it credit for, and I've learned quite a bit about it. And, you know, it's worth talking about. You don't get near as many hits from people talking about college baseball as you do football and basketball. The month of March right now, I mean, it's March. You can't get any better than this.
Yeah.
I mean, March Madness may be the greatest sports month.
Yeah, March is up there. I mean, you got, you know, you look at March, you got the baseball about to kick off, spring training, March Madness. The Masters are in there. So, the NFL Combine, NFL Draft is about to, kick off here.
NFL Draft is in there. The Combine's been going on this weekend, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Brad, you said you're from Kentucky. Let me ask you, what's the deal? It seems like some people want John Calipari fired. A few months ago, I went on a rant about how dumb that is.
Well, that's a good one, man, because that's exactly – yeah, I agree with you, actually. I mean, Kentucky fans, we don't take to not being elite very well, okay?
Yeah.
This year, in this March, right now, it'll be five. This is 5 years since we've been to the Elite Eight.
That's wild to say. That's wild to think. Like when you put it that way, that's wild to think.
Yeah. So, as great as Calipari's been, and he has been, his first 9 years. I mean, there's you look at hardly any coach in America that's had a better run than his first 9 years.
Yeah.
When you factor in recruiting and everything and the players that he got and sending off to the NBA and his winning and going to three Final Fours out of 4 years, winning a championship, going to another final game. I mean, when you factor all of that in, there's not too many that had a better run his first 9 years. Now, like I said, Kentucky fans were a little spoiled.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be honest with you.
I mean, that's part of the Blue Blood organization. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We're a little spoiled, and it's been a while, and this team has lost three or four games that we really don't feel like we should have lost. And when some of those games were getting, you know, when we were losing a few of those games, the crowd seems to think that it's time to fire Calipari. But I mean, let's hold off just a minute.
Who are you going to get that's better? That's always my question.
And that's exactly where I'm at. And that's what I've been telling some of my friends. I've been saying it on my podcast at College Sportscast, is who in the world is out there
that's going to be better than him.
That's going to bring that kind of swag to Kentucky.
Yeah.
Because it takes way more than X's and O's to coach at Kentucky. You got to handle the pressures.
Yeah, ask Tubby Smith, right? That's who you guys had before him, right?
Yeah. I mean, it takes way more than that. And you got to be able to recruit, like, top recruits. Not getting three, because that's where Tubby went wrong, is he kind of fell off and really couldn't. He was getting three and four star recruits instead of five and a few four stars.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of where Tubby fell off. But Calipari's not there. I mean, he brought in the number one recruiting class. He actually has the number two recruiting class coming in for next year. And he's working on a one or two recruiting class for 2 years from now. He already has a couple of people in there. So I don't understand, really. I mean, I agree with you that that's kind of insane.
I do. I just, you know, and it's hard. And I the way the college basketball is leveled, and I think, you know, and I'll ask you this, is I think women's right now is in a healthier spot than the men's. I think that the one and done has kind of killed men's, and it's killed recruiting. Like, you know, like it's hard to keep a class together. You know, Calipari, you got to think, he's got a new team every year, because three or four guys are in the NBA. So do you think the women's right now is at a healthier version than the men's?
Actually, probably yes. I do think that the women's is probably a little healthier than the men's. And I think it's the women's game is still – what the men's game was 30 or 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And by that, I'm saying the women go in and they stay 4 years.
Yeah.
There's no jumping to the WNBA. They don't have that. I mean, even as great as Caitlin Clark has been,
she's probably going to take a pay cut going to the WNBA.
I'm saying now it's different because you got the NIL stuff.
Yeah. See?
But even as great as Caitlin Clark has been, she didn't try to, you know, go to the NBA early or go to the WNBA early.
Yeah.
You know, Aaliyah Boston from South Carolina, she didn't do it a couple of years ago when she was there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's been some really good women players over the last few years. I mean,
I think that you get a chance to, fans get a chance to remember the name. You know what I mean? Like, You know, if you they go in the tournament and you're watching the tournament, especially for like a casual fan like myself, like I'll fill out a bracket, but I'm not, I'm just after football season. That's when I try to catch up on the rest of my life. So I'm always constantly doing something, but I just try to keep one eye on it. Right. And, yeah. You know, or maybe a half eye on it. And, but you know, I think then, you know, the tournament is when you make moments, that's when people remember who people are. And then once that person is gone, you're just like, oh, shit, man, what happened to this team? Well, it's because they couldn't build.
Well, I mean, I'll give you a name right now. We was talking about Kentucky. So Reed Shepherd, he's a Kentucky boy. He's a freshman. Uh-huh. All right. And being from the state of Kentucky myself, I know myself deep within my soul what it means to be a Kentucky boy and to dream to play at the University of Kentucky.
Yeah.
And Reed Shepherd right now, he's a freshman. He's playing really good basketball. He's not out of this world yet, but he's a guy who's averaging 12 and a half points a game. He averages about 4 or 5 rebounds. He averages about 4 or 5 assists per game. He's averaging almost 3 steals a game. He affects the game in so many ways. But what I'm saying to you is the difference here is this. Reed Shepherd's being projected as a fairly early first-round draft pick. Okay? Whereas in the women's game, Caitlin Clark comes in and she stays with Iowa Hawkeyes for her 4 years and everybody knows her name.
Yeah. And now she's about to be a number one, you know.
Shepherd.
Nobody knows his name.
If he was to do what Caitlin Clark did.
Yeah.
Then everybody would know his name.
Well, look at Zach, even like Zach Edey. Like, I feel like most, you know what I mean? Most people know who Zach Edey is because he's been around for 4 years, you know, like,
I think Zach Edey is a name that everybody's going to know because for the past 3 years, he's been front and center.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. What would you do to fix that?
Well, man, it's so hard to even think about to do. I mean, I used to say that, I mean, this is something that I don't know that I would say anymore, but I used to say that they ought to do for basketball the same thing they do for college baseball. So in college baseball, you get the opportunity to go pro out of high school.
Yeah.
You can go pro out of high school. But if you choose the college path, you have to stay in college through your sophomore year.
Yeah, I used to think the same, something similar to that. Like, get rid of the one and done deal. Get rid of the one and done deal. 3 years. Yeah, 3 years from your graduation year.
Yes. In football, it's 3 years. College football, you cannot go pro until 3 years from your graduation year.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think you necessarily need that in basketball, but I do think some of these guys, if you watch, like, they get into the league, they're not good, then they get in some trouble or they get traded a bunch of times. I mean, look at a guy like your guy, Julius Randle at Kentucky. I mean, very highly touted, you know, coming out. He was like top 10 draft pick from the Lakers. Seemed to bounce around for a while. And then guess what? About 4 or 5 years later, he's an all-star with the Knicks. Well, guess what? Those 3 years that he spent in the, you know, could have spent in Kentucky polishing in his game, you know, I mean, just come in a little bit more polished than.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of these kids are just, they don't have that moxie, that killer instinct to go straight in the NBA and be successful. You know what I mean? Like, it takes more than just talent.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and sometimes it takes a kid 2, 3, 4 years once they're there to figure it out.
Yep.
You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's always 4, 5, 6 kids that are just above and beyond everybody else, and they can come in and star right away. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there's always a few kids. A few kids can do that.
Yeah.
But the truth is most of them are not going to do that. Most of them are going to struggle. They're going to be in the G League for a year or two, you know, in and out. I'm not saying they're in the G League full blown, but they're in and out of the G League and then back up to the NBA and stuff like that. And in this world, Bodkins, when you can make all this money on NIL deals,
just stay in school.
You can make so much more money than being in the G League.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the NIL will change. I think it's going to change a lot of things. I hope it does to get kids to stay.
It's not even close.
In the NBA.
The top players in the G League make like $200,000, $250,000. Well, these big players in NIL are making $2.5-3 million.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Caitlin Clark
is on one of the one, I forget which, is it Fanatics or something? She is the top NIL in college, boys or girls, men's or
that's women. Why I said when she goes to the WNBA, she's gonna take a little pay cut, I think.
Yeah. I mean, but what I'm saying is, you know, this in with the NIL. Some of these kids need to learn to stay in school and stay for another year or two instead of jumping as a freshman. Stay through your sophomore year, stay through your junior year, at least sophomore year, stay that extra year, make $2-3.5 million in NIL.
I agree.
And then go on to, you know, after you have polished your game just a little bit, you know, and go on to the NBA. And I think that's where – I think that's – it's not just – for me, it's not just the rules in place. I think some of it's got to be parents and common sense and teaching these kids that, you know, the path has changed now. It's not what it was in 2015.
No.
In 2015 – You didn't have NIL. You know what I mean? You didn't have this stuff. In 2018, you didn't have this stuff. You know,
it's a little bit of the wild, wild west right now, so take full advantage before it reverts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the game has changed right now. You should be using your head, and parents should be telling these kids, nope. Listen, I don't care if they're saying you're going to be the 18th pick in the NBA draft. You averaged 11.5 points and 4 rebounds, and you're just not ready to go to the NBA and play ball.
Do you think the NIL deal, do you think that's like chasing out like the older heads like Nick Saban? We've seen him leave, you know, retire. There's, you know, I mean, shit, Chip Kelly left UCLA as their head coach to become the OC at Ohio State. Like,
I do think it's changed. It has like chased a few of them out. I've seen Tom Izzo talking about it in an article. It was this like about a month ago or something. I read a really long article on Tom Izzo, and they were asking him in this article, you know, how much longer he might coach and stuff like that in the article. And I mean, he went into this long spiel in this article and was just talking about the changes and the differences and how hard it is to keep up with not just recruiting, but trying to keep your players there
and
keep your players happy.
Yeah.
You know, because of the transfer rules and stuff like that, you know. So when you put it all together, I don't really think it's just NIL. I think a whole lot of it has to do with the transfer rules now and things like that. But I think some of the older hands that have been in coaching for a long time, it's a lot for them to have to deal with.
I agree. Last quick question on college basketball. Then I want to ask you some college football questions. Who's winning this whole damn thing? Cause in the men's, cause it seems wide open.
It is kind of, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I've got about 6 or 8 teams kind of picked out right now that I think can probably win it. It just depends on, you know, I'm kind of waiting to see what the draw looks like.
Yeah.
But if I'm being real, and I kind of hate to say this, but if I'm being real, kind of feel like UConn might be the best team again.
Hurley's got them boys humming.
He does. And I'm not saying, I'll be honest with you, I think there's three teams that's kind of head and shoulders above the rest. And I know that a lot of people right now think that college basketball, there's a lot of parity. And it there is in that midsection. There is. Like if you go from 5 to 25 or from 5 to even 40, there is a lot of parity. But I really feel like that Purdue, UConn, and Houston, those three, I mean, they all have like two or three losses, and everybody else in the country has six or eight. Everybody. You look at Arizona. I mean, hell, Kansas yesterday lost their eighth game of the year. Yesterday.
They can't win at home. I mean, Tanner Dawson, a co-host of mine, he loves he's Kansas Jayhawk through and through. They just can't win on the road, it seems like, the Jayhawks.
Yeah, they're having – they are 2-6 on the road in the Big 12.
Yeah, dang.
2-6. You know,
so – Brad, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, when you're talking about Kansas on the road, that's a huge struggle. You know,
yeah, they don't play tournament games on the at home, you know.
Nope. And when you go 2-6 away from Fog Allen, that's troublesome. I mean,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong, you don't play away games in the tournament either, but it is neutral sites, and sometimes other fans pack stadiums.
Yep.
You know, so not being able to play away
from right now do you got UConn, Houston, and Purdue who as your one seed?
I've got three other teams right now that I'm considering for that fourth number one seed. Arizona is one, Tennessee is one, and North Carolina is one, are the three other teams that I'm considering for that fourth number one seed. I think most people currently have Arizona in that edge, but I'm not so sure that Tennessee won't win out in this one.
They win the SEC, that'd be huge.
So Kentucky and Tennessee play Saturday, and if Tennessee can win out and beat Kentucky on Saturday, I'm not so sure that that doesn't lock them in as that fourth one seed.
Yeah. Carlos says Purdue is strong. I'm worried about Stanima. Yeah. Yeah. We kind of talked about that earlier. Brad, I want to shift gears. Go ahead.
Just real quick on Purdue, man. I mean, they're better than last year. We talked about Iowa and the women's, and we talked about them probably being better last year than this year, their overall team. I think the guard play for Purdue, Braden is doing great there. I think the guard play, they brought in a couple of transfers. I think they have more around Zach Edey than they had last year.
They lost the first round last year.
They did. They did lose. They lost to FDU, Fairleigh Dickinson, last year in the first round. And then FDU damn near beat Florida Atlantic, who went on to the Final Four. They had to have a last-second shot to beat FDU in round two. But Purdue really struggled from the outside last year. They couldn't shoot. And that's kind of what hurt them. So I think Purdue is better. I think Purdue has a chance to make it to the Final Four this year. I just am not sold that they'll be the winner yet.
Yeah, I kind of agree there too. I can't buy it, man. I can't buy Purdue. Just it seems they struggled somewhere down the line. They caught up. Brad, I want to ask you about a little college football. Your thoughts on Mr. Caleb Williams? It seems like, you know, I hate this notion that everybody's like, he's Patrick Mahomes plus. Well, guess what? You didn't even know Patrick Mahomes was going to be Patrick fucking Mahomes, folks. So don't tell me that somebody's going to be Patrick Mahomes because you didn't even see Patrick Mahomes coming down the pipeline. So don't tell me that. But what's your thoughts on presumably the number one pick in Caleb Williams, I think?
So I'm not as high on Caleb Williams as everybody else seems to be, okay? He's got all the talent in the world. The talent's there, okay? He can do it. He can do it all on the field. Sometimes he overdoes it on the field. And by that, I'm saying he will take some sacks that he shouldn't ever take. If you watch USC play very much, he will hold the ball and take some sacks that he shouldn't take. Most of your game manager, smart quarterbacks will get rid of it. And they won't take a 8 or 10 yard sack. But he takes more than what he really should. That's my only really knock on him as far as in a game. My things with him are beyond the field.
Yeah, there's some red flags for me there too.
He's a little bit of a prima donna.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not saying anything, but he's kind of a prima donna. And for me, that questions his work ethic. Is he going to come into the league and just be like, you know what? There's nobody going to outwork me. I'm going to be the best.
Yeah. That Peyton Manning, Tom Brady.
Yes.
You know, yeah.
Patrick Mahomes. I would never, ever, ever compare him to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And the whole reason is Mahomes has clearly come into this league and worked his tail off to be – where he's at. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
And something with Caleb, he feels like everybody owes me. Everybody owes me. And I worry about that. Now, everybody I talk to says he's going to be the clear number one pick. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a Marvin Harrison Jr. guy.
I think if I'm a Bears fan, if I'm the Bears, I would take Marvin Harrison Jr. over number one. Shit, actually, you know what, Brad? I take that back. I trade back to Washington. I think it was Washington at two. There's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the Patriots are three. I'm talking to one of them two because both of them want a quarterback.
Right.
And saying, hey, what do you want? What, you know what I mean? Hey, do you want the number one pick? Come get it. Because we want Marvin Harrison Jr. We'll swap picks this year and give me a first next year or you know what I mean? And something crazy, you know?
And there are some talks with Washington. Atlanta is up in there who has like a top 7 or 8 pick.
They're eighth again. Yeah, they've been eight, like, because every year they finish under Arthur Smith, 8-8-8 or something. So
they're up in there in that top. So Atlanta's been talking to Chicago about a trade with this pick as well. So there is some chance that Chicago itself will trade this pick. But I don't. Everybody that I talk to, even if Washington goes up, everybody says they're going to take Caleb Williams. If Atlanta goes up, they think they're going to take Caleb Williams. But I'll be honest with you, Bodkins. I'm a Marvin Harrison Jr. guy.
I think he's
generational. I think he is going to be for the next 10, 12 years. I think he's going to be one of the best receivers in the league. I think 3 or 4 years from now, he'll be the best. I'm not sure that he'll be the best the first year or two, but I think he has that kind of talent.
It'll be interesting to see where he goes. Let me ask you this. Are you taking it, if Caleb's the first quarterback taken, are you taking Jaden Daniels? It seems like there's a tie now between Jaden Daniels, whose stock is rising, or Drake May.
So I'm not that big on Drake May either, and everybody else seems to be. And here's my reasoning on Drake May. Drake May has all the intangibles, and on the field he can make all the throws, and he looks really good. However, if you pay attention like I do to college football, and I'm not talking about your team and who you like, I'm talking about the whole scape, you know, of college football. North Carolina the last 2 years has been sitting at like 8-1. They've had down the stretch, they've had meaningful games that Drake May could have taken North Carolina to the top. They could have won the ACC last year, not this year, but last year. They could have made the college football playoff. If they would have won games down the stretch, they were that close. And my deal with Drake May is this: in the biggest games, at the biggest moments, he doesn't show up. He doesn't climb that mountain. And for me, if I'm an NFL executive that's got the 1, 2, or 3 pick in the draft, if I feel like this guy's not going to show up in the biggest of games, I can't take him.
I agree. It'll be interesting. A lot of teams going to need some quarterbacks. And people are high on McCarthy coming out of Michigan, it seems like.
Yeah, I think McCarthy's moving up quite a bit.
I was reading kind of some combine clips. Tanner and they make fun of me because I say I don't watch that shit. Doesn't mean just because I don't watch it doesn't mean I don't keep an eye on it. You know what I mean? That's what they don't know, Brad.
Right. I got you. McCarthy is moving up. I have heard, to be honest with you, I've heard that the Falcons might be in play for him.
Yeah.
And the Falcons are sitting like at that 7 or 8 pick, something like that I said. I can't remember now. They're in that
range. It's eight. Yeah.
You know, so I've heard that they might be in play for him. And then I actually had a mock draft show on College Sportscast last night. And the guy that was on with me that was doing the mock draft, said that he has heard that somebody might trade up inside the top 5 and get McCarthy.
Man.
That sounds like a reach to me, but.
Hey, you know, one thing that people are going to do is always reach on quarterbacks. I could see a team, I've said this before, I could see a team trading back into the first round and get a guy like Michael Penix or somebody like that. I think he's a late second round, you know, a second rounder, you know what I mean? But teams are always, Penix, you know, gonna reach Nick, on them quarterbacks.
Penix and Nix are probably mid to late second round guys, both out of the Pac 12. Both really good quarterbacks. Now, however, today, actually, the NFL Combine, I actually heard that Penix really impressed throwing the ball at the NFL Combine today. That's news that happened absolutely this afternoon. I heard that he was really impressive, and maybe that helps his draft stock. Maybe he rises just a little bit from what I just said, because the one thing about Penix, I actually believe if it was me, guys, okay, if I'm the executive, I think my top 3 quarterbacks would be Caleb, Jalen Daniels, and my third guy, I think, is Michael Penix Jr.
Hey, I like you. I've been a Penix fan. Everybody seems to be kind of hating on him, but I like him.
Penix, man, has had 2 straight years, not 1, 2 straight years, He's had 2,000 yard receivers.
Yeah.
Two.
He's dishing it out. And those guys, you know, Woozie is going to go in the top 10, maybe top 50. I don't know. Receivers seems like people are waiting on them.
Holt is probably going to be a first rounder.
Yeah.
More than likely. You know, James Polk is the other one. Both of those guys, 2 years in a row, have been 1,000-yard receivers. Do you know how tough that is?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm an Iowa Hawkeye fan, Brett. I know how real tough it is, okay? So, I mean, they don't play offense.
Yeah. Y'all might get 1,000 yards in 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. That's in passing, rushing, and receiving, Brad. Brad, I didn't prep you for this segment, but you know, I know you're a fan of the show. We always do dog and turd of the week at the end of the show. So we'll start off with the turd. Do you have a turd, just somebody that you think is an absolute turd of the week?
Are we talking college sports here?
Any all around the whole world, Brad? Any sport? It can be non-sports related if you want.
A turd of the week. Now you didn't prep me on this one.
I didn't.
Let's see. I mean, in college sports, you really can't go wrong talking about the job that Kenny Payne has done at Louisville. If you're talking about turd of the week, I mean, actually turd of the year. I mean, you really can't go wrong. I mean, Kenny Payne has struggled mightily. I think they won 3 games last year. I think they've won 8 this year. So he's done a smidget better, but Louisville has always been a power. I mean, when I say always, since the late 70s, they've been a power in college basketball, and he has taken them down the sewer drain, to be quite honest.
Time to bring Patino back and the prostitutes, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Something's got to change, that's for sure.
So my turn of the week is none other than the Golden State Warriors. And that's what they laid out today, Brad. They lost to the Boston Celtics 140-88. I mean, whoa. The Warriors were down. Yeah. At halftime, they were down, I think, 50 at halftime. It was like 80 or 40 at halftime. The Warriors absolutely laid a dog turd. 3 Hall of Famers on your team, Hall of Fame coach, and you go in, you're one of the worst. They're fighting for their playoff lives. And this is the time of the season where the NBA matters. The Golden State Warriors, who laid a turd today, are my turd of the week. It's time to turn it on, Steph. And you guys are out here laying absolute turds.
That's true. 140-88. That's an ass whooping.
Hey, that's daddy took you to the woodshed one too many times, ass whooping. So.
Yeah, man. That's an ass whooping right there.
Yeah. You got a dog of the week.
I mean, golly, we talked about we opened the show with her. I'm gonna have to go Caitlin Clark here, man.
I like it, Brad. Hey, she's been my dog of the week a couple times.
Caitlin Clark. I mean, she just passed Pistol Pete Maravich, guys. I mean, most people thought this record was never going to be touched. And that's. I mean, I get it. There was no 3-point line when Pistol Pete played. I also get it that. And that's what everybody says. But hello to the people who talks about that there was no 3-point line. Just for your information, Pistol Pete also only got to play 3 years. Because back when he played, freshmen were ineligible.
Oh, yeah. Shit. That even makes his record even more crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Pistol Pete, there's one record Pistol Pete will not probably ever get touched. And that's his points per game. He averaged 44.2 points a game. But insane. Caitlin Clark just passed Pistol Pete Maravich 3,600 68 was the number to pass him because he had 3,667 points. And she passes him today, her last game in Iowa as a senior on senior day. Congratulations. You are my dog of the week, Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. Brad, I mean, luckily you picked her because I wanted to, but I picked her two or three times. But my dog of the week, Brad, is none other than Xavier Worthy, the Texas wide receiver who ran the 40, the fastest ever at the combine at 4.21. I mean, he's a dog, and he's got to be part fucking cheetah because he was booking it at 4.21 and probably ran himself right into the first round or early second round. That guy just earned himself a contract today with the fastest 40. So my dog of the week is none other than Xavier Worthy, baby.
Absolutely. Xavier Worthy was on fire yesterday at the combine. He broke the all-time record for the fastest 40 ever. It was 4.22. And to be quite honest with you, they clocked him. And at first, they thought he tied it at 4.22. But they went back and looked at the actual time because they have it, you know, and it's 4.21. He broke it. So he has the all-time 40 record at the NFL Combine. And I'm going to tell you guys, 4.21 and a 40, fucking flying.
It is.
I mean.
Fast. He is making people look fast, not so fast. That's how fast he was.
I mean, that's so, God, Xavier Worthy. Hats off to you, bud, because that right there was amazing.
It was. Brad, tell everybody where they can catch you at and what you got coming up, my man.
All right, so I'm with College Sportscast, guys, and I'm, of course, on YouTube. I'm actually part of the Let's Talk Sports Network as well. They do a little bit with me. I use them as you know, I featured on Let's Talk Sports as well with Botkins here. That's kind of partly why we know each other. But I am on YouTube, College Sportscast. You can find me on Facebook, College Sportscast. That's the two main things that you can catch my shows on. And I do shows on Tuesday nights. Right now, I've been doing them on Friday nights. We do a game day pick'em on Friday nights. On Friday nights, we always pick about 12 games for the weekend. In football season, we pick football games. In basketball season, we pick basketball games. And I'm talking college here, guys. It is College Sportscast. And we use DraftKings for spread lines, and we pick games on Friday nights. We have a weekend wrap-up show on Sundays. And then on Tuesdays, we have a show we call the Big Fuss Show. So the Big Fuss Show, we do some hot topics and debates, and we get on and have a little bit of fun, and we talk about some of this stuff that people, you know, might have some major NIL, transfer portal, 12-team playoff, 14-team playoff, you know, rules that are being changed, the NCAA going to court and losing versus Tennessee and Virginia. I mean, we talk about all kinds of stuff on the Big Fuss Show, and that's on Tuesday nights. You can catch us this coming Tuesday at 8:00 Central, 9 Eastern. We will do a Big Fuss Show on Tuesday, and you can catch us on, like I said, Let's Talk Sports. You can catch us on College Sportscast, YouTube channel, and Facebook.
Yeah, we appreciate you joining us tonight, Brad. My real quick, folks, I'd be remiss if we didn't say our condolences and T's and P's to Chris Mortensen's family. Chris Mortensen, legend, passed away before there was Woj bombs, before there was Sham Sharania, before there was Adam Schefter. You woke up and got your insider news from none other than Chris Mortensen, and he passed. Yeah, the Mort report, and he passed away this morning.
Had he been sick or
cancer? He had cancer. He previously had cancer. Yeah.
So I didn't know that. I hate to hear. I saw it earlier, and I hate to hear that. Mort was really, really big when Boomer and Tom Jackson.
The ESPN I grew up on. That's the ESPN I grew up on.
Yeah, you know, when Boomer and Tom Jackson was doing all the highlights, doing all the stuff, and he was really big with them. Chris Mortensen definitely is a legend in NFL media and all the stuff that the news that he broke and the things that he did was legendary in the, I would say, late 80s through the 90s, on into the 2000s as well. So absolutely hate to hear that he passed away. He was 72 years old.
Yep. Yeah, we want to send our condolences, T's and P's, out to the Mortensen family. Again, before there was a Shefty, before there was a Sham Sharania, before there was a Woj, you got your insider news from the Mort Report and Chris Mortensen. So we want to T's and P's out to Chris Mortensen and everybody in his family. This has been another great show. Brad, I appreciate you joining me. Thanks again, everybody. Please check out Brad on the College Sports Cast. You can catch it on the Let's Talk Sports Network or his own YouTube channel as well. Great, all college sports related. Obviously, as we sat down here and talked today, give you that knowledge, help you out, fill out your bracket when those come out in here just about 2 weeks' time. For Brad, I'm Bodkins. I'll be back with the boys on the LTS show tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Central, 9 Eastern. Check us out on the Let's Talk Sports Network. We'll see you then, folks. Be a friend. Tell a friend. I'm going to hit that outro. See y'all.
Thanks so much for joining us. And until next time, let's talk sports, friends. Thanks for watching.